the UK Brand Show with Penny and Marcus for the latest thinking in marketing and PR and growing a brand.
Welcome to the UK Brand Show.
Welcome, everyone.
We're really pleased to have you here with us today.
Yes, yeah. It's a really exciting show ahead.
It is. We've got some great guests on the show today, and we'll talk a bit
live guests.
Live guests, yeah, in the studio with us, in the flesh. But we'll talk to them in a moment's time. We'll do the normal news first, though, folks. But before we do that, just to remind you, you can follow us on
at the UK Brand Show on Twitter. And the website is theukbrandshow.co.uk.
Absolutely. And if you want to listen again, you can listen to us after the show on Channel Radio, and then we post it on our website, don't we?
We do, yeah.
So you can, and you can also, if you want to, have a look on the website to see the profiles of our guests who are going to be talking to us in a moment.
And look at all the 12 shows that we've now done.
12 shows? Wow, time has flown by, hasn't it?
This is 13. Is anyone superstitious?
No. I decided on the system we've got here, you can... I've actually saved it as show 12 again. We've got two show 12s because next week it's going to be show 14.
Okay.
Do you understand the logic in that?
Yeah.
Anyway, in the studio with us, we have Chris Pollard and Miriam McGurk.
Hello.
I said that right, didn't I?
Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Marcus and Penny.
Good. And we'll be talking to you in great detail in a moment's time. But before we kick off, and actually, there's a couple of news stories we picked out today. One, actually, we can probably talk a bit more about in the show later on, is about marketeers shouldn't forget about the new old. So why the creative industry needs to rethink the aging population. So there's an article on The Drum, actually, and it says, the over 60s already outnumber the under 16s.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah. So I'm not neither of them.
We know we're in an ageing population, and that has lots of challenges, but I didn't realise that over 60s outnumber.
It says, and by 2040, one in seven people will be over the age of 75. So it's quite amazing, isn't it? And we know there is an older population, but what the article says is that marketeers, you need to think about the aging population, about the fact that they're more savvy than ever before. It goes on to say, currently we are feeling in the creative industry that aging is a demographic time bomb waiting to explode.
Yeah, it also says that we need to think about them as different tribes, as we do with the younger generation. It's exactly right, isn't it? We were talking earlier in the green room about how technology is adopted by varying demographics within the young and the old.
That's right. And funny enough, I was having a conversation the other day about how my mum's over 70 years old and she's quite tech savvy and can use, you know, all the tech really easily. But clearly you can have different people who have got different skills. So
It says in the article, of course, the new old are not going to be like the old. They are going to have different expectations and they've lived through the digital revolution. They were hippies.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I just missed out on that myself, but saying that when we get older, clearly we'll carry on using technology because that's what we're doing all the time now, and we'll be using social media or whatever it is that's around at that time. So that was quite an interesting one. So basically it's just telling us really there's a wake-up call, isn't it?
I'm not sure age is as relevant anymore. I think it's more about demographics. It's about communities of interest. It's about the connections that you have. It's about your family profile. I don't think age is as relevant.
I think age is a state of mind. So I still think I'm 25.
But I absolutely, I agree. And I think the only relevance becomes that, yes, you can't maybe do at 60 what you were doing when you were 16.
Yeah, the body might not be functioning quite as well as it used to or whatever.
You know, you meet people who are 25 and have bad backs and it means they can't do anything. So it's, I'm not so sure age is as relevant as it used to
be. And I'm sure Chris and Miriam might comment on this in a moment's time.
Oh, yes,
we'll have a comment.
Certainly a few words.
Excellent. And just one other story I saw knocking around. So We've spoken about this a lot on the show about fake news, and now they're talking about alternative facts. And dare I say it, Mr. Trump has said a few times that he's actually accusing the media now of presenting alternative facts, which is quite interesting. But this article is fake apps are on the rise. So not only have we got fake news, we've got fake apps.
Not surprised, really.
Not surprised, yeah.
And anything to make a buck.
Exactly. And we were talking about this in the green room and saying how easy it is now for people to access technology and create stuff. But fake apps were first created as basically a viral problem, you know, a way of getting into your computer and giving you a virus, really. But it's saying about how you need to be really careful now. They need to be recognised, and you need to make sure you're checking the app store frequently to see that these are, you know, real bona fide apps. And it goes on to talk about know your foe. So it's almost like there's a battle going on out there. And if you're in business, one of the things they talk about now is cybercrime a lot. And a lot of businesses aren't waking up to that. And actually, in our industry, like in any other industry, we need to be well aware of things like fake apps. And
did I tell you my story about a hacker?
No.
Quick story.
Go on, then.
Friend of a friend. He was a dancer for Kylie. And
Kylie Minogue?
Yeah. Broke his leg, was lying in bed, and managed to hack into a national bank. Stole 2 million.
Wow.
Kept it, but waited for it to be discovered. And when it was discovered, they hired him to then continue to hack to protect their systems.
Wow.
And he's a billionaire. He's just bought some Rolls Royces. That's how I know.
So he gave them the 2 million back, and now he's a millionaire. Billionaire.
Mm.
Brilliant. Yeah. Mm. I wish I'd learned that. No, but perhaps I hadn't learned to hack. I don't know.
But what a story of success.
Yeah.
Cybercrime is a big thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the big companies now have to hire people to continually test their systems.
They do. You're right. And you hear that quite a lot now about how they're, and you see them in the films now, don't you? How they're, you know, these great movies now where they've got the young hacker who's sitting there trying to hack the American, you know, nuclear system or whatever. So
well, there was a British boy that did that, wasn't there?
He was arrested, yeah,
a few years ago.
Yeah. There. So anyway, so let's move on. We have got two great guests with us in the studio. Hello, how are you both doing?
We're doing great.
Yes, we're doing really well.
Very interesting to hear what you're talking about, age.
Yes, very ageism. Interesting.
Because I don't think age is relevant any longer. I do think it is a mindset. I think because the population is aging, there is much more focus on us now, as well as the youth, and especially in the marketing and PR world.
Yeah.
I agree. In my mind, I'm forever young, you know, 40 forever, 45 forever. I think the most important thing is, A, never stop learning, embrace the new, and especially in terms of what Chris and I are doing. And even for myself as an author, a published author, storyteller, speaker and blogger, I've had to literally jump on that saddle and learn so much in the last 4 years because of the massive changes in the publishing world, the marketing world, and the brand, even my brand and building that. And it's an ongoing process of building my profile and great content.
And we're going to talk a bit more about that in a moment, but I think it's probably ideal that we introduce you properly and just say a bit what. So say a bit, you're obviously, Miriam, you've just said that you're an author, a published author, a blogger, etc. Chris, you've got many years of experience in the textile industry, and now your brand, you're looking after Miriam's brand, aren't you?
I'm a brand manager.
Brand manager, yeah.
Yeah, I've had.
We haven't promoted yourself to brand director then?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Because I think I manage. Yes, I have 40 years experience of marketing.
Miriam might give you a promotion.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah, after the first year. Oh, we haven't reached the year yet.
Oh, you're on probation.
Good. There will be a review.
Year end of February. Yeah, I've been involved in marketing since 1973. Marketing products and services. And along with marketing comes PR. And when I'd watched Miriam start to grow her profile about 3 years ago, and she was doing it all herself. She was doing all her own marketing, all her own PR, as well as writing. And it became obvious to me that I needed to start giving her some support. So I started to do a little. well, what are my strengths? My strengths are building relationships. So, and we started to do that via various forms. First of all, we looked around for a good PR person, and we found the most wonderful lady, who's on maternity leave at the moment, so I'm under additional pressure, but her name is Liz White of White Word Media. And Liz has been incredible, what she has managed to do for Miriam. And also, she's taught me a lot. I understood the marketing side, but I needed to understand the PR side. So, yes, I'm enjoying the position I'm in now with Miriam. I'm enjoying being her brand manager, and I'm very excited about what the strategy that we have to develop Miriam's profile and brand this year.
And you, and just before we talk to you about Miriam, one of the things I'm interested in, Chris, is you said you've been doing this for a while. And what kind of, I mean, relationships don't change. I mean, I think, and we've spoken about this a lot on the show, about how relationships are really important. And, you know, a lot of the business that a lot of us get is through relationships. But have you seen changes in your approach, or, you know, obviously technology's changed, but have you seen some changes in what you have to do in order to market, or, you know, to work in the PR? Or
I've seen additional factors which help. And that obviously being the digital era, that being social media. I think one of the tendencies is that because there is social media, people think, I'll sit there and I'll do it all on my phone. You can start a relationship, a virtual relationship, but the key to a virtual relationship is going to the next stage and speaking to that person. For example, as we've done in America, Miriam reached out to someone on Twitter, a lady last year. She's a thriller writer. And we had our first Skype with her when we were in New York last September. We went over there for a couple of meetings and to get a feel of the market. And this lady introduced us to someone else in Florida who we then had a conversation with, Plum Productions. And Miriam ended up being on her show for an hour and being videoed. And what they're doing now is they're releasing 2 and 3 minute sections of the interview. But ultimately, we couldn't have done what we're doing now by just doing everything virtually. Mm. And to me, my experience is, all through my years, I have been good, and I am good, at talking to people and thinking, who can I introduce that person to?
Yeah.
Or how would it further Miriam's profile and her brand? And that's my focus.
Now, Chris, I remember you, am I right in saying that you got a job through Twitter? Is that right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that just shows you the power of social media, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So you became an MD of a company, or is that right?
CKC Global Media.
Yeah.
And that came about because I used to listen to this gentleman called Ken Heron on the Business Bunker show on Channel Radio. And just before Miriam's launch of Shattered Dreams and Scorpions at Midnight, A Search for Sanctuary, in June 2015, about 4 to 6 weeks before then, I tweeted him. And then we had a Skype, and then he gave me a little bit of advice, and we developed the relationship from there. And then a year last January, I took over the role as MD for the UK.
And I think that just shows you the power. If you know how to use it properly, it shows the power.
Yes.
Now, Miriam, we've been hearing about the fact that you're building your brand, really. And this is, we are called the UK Brand Show, of course, and what we're really interested in is, if you're working in the industry, how do you build your brand? And you're doing lots of things that we would advise clients, writing a blog and doing video, etc. So tell us a bit more about how you started that and how you've been able to get to where you are now. And we may break in between that, but we can start that conversation now. It'd be really good to hear how you've developed it, really.
Okay. Well, I've actually been writing full time for 13 years. And I remember a colleague of Chris's actually saying to me, "You're nobody unless you have a website." I went, "Oh, well, then I'm a nobody. Maybe I should do something about that." So it started with a website, and then it continued with Facebook, and then I started to write what were known as blurbs then. And I was writing blurbs for other companies and websites. And then they became blogs. I didn't know what a blog was, but I was then writing in my pen name, And the response, it was just about my life. I was at that point living between here in Kent and in southwest Turkey. And the response from people, I was getting invites to tea, invites for discussions. And at that point, I'd always had the dream of having one book published.
We all say that, don't we? We always say that.
I must write a book.
Yeah, they say, there's a saying, isn't it? Everyone's got a novel in them.
Yeah, but it's actually the physicality of getting down and doing it. And actually, now, 4 years on, since my first book was published, that's the easy bit.
Mm.
It's everything else that comes after that. So I was very lucky. The first book in my pen name was published 4 years ago. So obviously we had a launch, and Chris was a huge part of that launch. It was just Chris and I at that point. After that, there were book signings where we physically went into some of the bookstores in the area. We actually spoke to various events people about me. I hadn't spoken for 17 years, but me getting up on stage and delivering a message about health and well-being, delivering a message about being a storyteller, because that's my hashtag. That's what I am. I'm a storyteller and sometimes commentator. Mm. But I realized that the era of just handing your book over to a publisher and hoping you would sell books and hoping that people would aspire to buying them. And I also noticed way back, people say, oh, how many books have you sold? But actually, it's all those 1 to 5 steps that have to be in place. So the plan, how are we going to market the book? Because it's not just about being in a bookstore. How are you going to get the footprints for people to walk into that pub store, people to get to know you? Well, you raise your profile. How do you raise your profile? You might do video. You know, I started to do little videos, as I said earlier, talking, engaging with people. I think one of the things that helped me perhaps was a bit of the old Irish blarney. But I believe very much in speaking from the heart.
Yeah.
And the feedback from that in the audiences that received my speaking events, they said that I touched people.
That's honesty, isn't it? I mean, I've always say that honesty is really important. Anything you do, any kind of product you're selling, or I mean, for PR purposes, you know, for crisis management, honesty. Because when you're honest, then you kill things off straight away, or people believe in you, and people that believe in you then makes the product more, you know,
credible.
Credible, exactly. That's exactly the word I want. You can tell you're an author.
And also, people. It's so important. One of the things that I had to, that I don't know, I believe it came naturally, is that being a writer wasn't about me. It's about the reader, bringing them on the journey, and a journey that they want to go on. And it's all the other areas that go with that in terms of marketing, in terms of building your profile. People need to get to know you, not the character. They need to get to know the real Miriam McGurk. That's what I have worked on.
Which is part of your brand. You're selling your brand. Now, we're going to have a quick break. As we're talking to an author, we've got the Beatles with Paperback Writer on. So, special request. And then we'll be back afterwards. So thank you for listening to the UK Brand Show, and we'll talk to you back again in about 10 minutes time, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. How many songs do we play?
Let's just do the one.
Paperback writer. JobSpot for the UK Brand Show, brought to you by Red Sprout.
Welcome back, and we're just going to read through a few of the vacancies that are on the redsprout.co website. So we have the project manager in Canterbury. There's another interesting one as well here, which cinema 4D visualizer and animators.
Sounds good.
Very interesting. Yeah. In Tunbridge Wells.
Do you need 3D glasses for that job?
No. Then we have a brand manager. This was to come and join a number one food service company in the country, Brakes Group, which
well known group in Kent.
A big employer in Kent. Digital designer in Ashford. .NET developer, which I think we mentioned last week, in Tunbridge Wells. Digital project manager in Tunbridge Wells. And another brand manager job in Canterbury.
So if Chris loses his job, he can apply for a few of them.
Yeah. Red Sprout have got so many good marketing and sort of digital vacancies, which is why I wanted to read that cinema 4D visualizer and animators. Very interesting.
I'm encouraged by that, I have to say, Penny, and especially the brand manager job with Greg's. Other food shops are available.
The UK Brand Show with Penny and Marcus for the latest thinking in marketing and PR and growing a brand.
So welcome back to the UK Brand Show. We're with Miriam McCook and Chris Pollard. How are you doing?
We're good. Thank you very much, Marcus and Penny.
And just to remind everybody, if you're following us on Twitter...
At the UK Brand Show.
That's it. Yeah, it's a tongue twister. And you can also find us on the internet.
Our website, yes. Yeah. theukbrandshow.co.uk.
So you can listen to our shows again. You can see the profiles of our interviewees. You can listen again straight after the show on channelradio.co.uk. So we're all over the place. And actually, one of the things we were talking about when we was in the green room earlier on is we're talking about the power of, the power of storytelling, but also we're talking about the power of podcasting and technology. So, and all of that, once again, podcasting, you know, people can download stuff anytime they want, including the UK Brand Show. But I'll stick that back in there again. But it's all about telling the story, isn't it?
Still all about people too. And I think that's it. We were talking earlier about you can start the relationship on social media, but then it's about the relationship that you then build face to face. But there are ways of doing face to face through video, through Skype.
FaceTime, yeah.
Yeah, so yes, that you're actually agreed. Looking in the eyes. Mm. You know, I think that's, as human beings, yeah. I think that's still important.
When I worked in the Far East, I used to travel to the Far East from the early 90s till 2003. And I was taught by a Korean gentleman. There are two aspects to the way they approach business out there. You have the business aspect, which involves money, and then you have the social aspect. And the reason why they like to go out and have dinner with you is because they like to see you drink, because then they say they can look into your eyes and they see the true character.
But that's different cultures, isn't it? It's really important. And, you know, when you do, when you're doing business with people, it's about understanding, when you're building relationships, it's also understanding that culture as well. Because if you don't, then you can, you know, you won't get the business.
That's right. That's right.
It's very important to put yourself in the mind of other people, whether it's to culturally or whether you're in the UK. And again, that was something I learned from the Far East, that I had to forget my Western ways and I had to learn how Eastern culture works. And once I learned that, it helped me hugely. And I still use that approach to this day in life.
Which is really important. So we were just going back to storytelling now. And do you think with marketing, are we still telling a story in marketing? Because we say in PR, it's about storytelling. Is it the same marketing pen, do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think that, honesty and the story behind any brand, service, product is really important for the consumer. It is what makes you different to another brand.
Yeah.
I also think building loyalty, building trust, all of those things. And as you were saying, Penny, I'm very much about it. I have to, even now, Mark, as we're looking eye to eye, it's really important to see the response, to see how you're engaging. That's all important. And I know anyone, I believe, can sell. And that's a complete turn off and switch off. And it's not, you know, in the age we're in, the digital age, people click, 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 they want everything in place. But actually, building relationships, whether you're in business or as a creative like myself, it is a step by step by step approach. I didn't suddenly acquire 1,000 followers. I didn't, you know, or build an audience of 1,000 people who were rushing. It has been a slow process, and it's been through speaking. So I get the face-to-face contact and then the questions and answers and really engaging with people. But it's also been the actual videos, and it's having those conversations. And it's been a slow process, but it has been... this year, 2017, going forward, it really is, I can see it's been like throwing out the net. And I feel really, really confident of the audience. I call them my troopers, my morning troopers. And they really want to come on the journey with me.
It's interesting how we look at the different social platforms. For example, Facebook has one demographic and the response that we get from people. But then if we go across to Twitter, for example, the relationships that we're now developing virtually in the States, we've now got a toe in the water in Australia. We've already started to speak to people because I've got ideas of how we're going to develop Miriam's profile, but to actually have Miriam in those countries going forward, speaking with other people who already have, you know, good followers and want to develop. And then you have Instagram, which Miriam started using about six months ago. And it's very interesting how that as well has developed and the response. But my question always is, and maybe this is a question for you both, what is the difference between marketing and PR? I personally see it, there's this huge crossover. Because when you're marketing a product, there's got to be some public relations there as well. What do you both feel?
It's a good question, and we've spoken about this quite a few times. And, you know, I mean, PR is part of the marketing mix, but in my opinion. However, where there are some differences is that in PR, you're not always doing, you know, you're not hard selling something. And, you know, traditionally, I don't know, marketing was, you know, more about selling something, wasn't it? And I think
it's more about the customer journey.
Yeah.
So that starts with research and understanding what the consumer is looking for, and then meeting your communication strategy to meet that, meet the needs, go for the right platforms so that you engage.
And to be, that is exactly, whether you're in business or a creative, that's exactly it's what we do. We do the research of, you know, for example, who are we focusing on in terms of, for example, my current book. Well, where is my market? Who's my market? Why would they go out and buy a book? What is the value to them? Mm. And as we said as well, it's very much about the reader, the customer. And I think there's a huge crossover now. And as you were saying earlier about the storytelling in marketing and in PR, there is a story to tell.
There is.
And nobody wants that hard sell, they just switch off.
But it's brand recognition, and you know, once again on the UK Brand Show, we've spoken about how certain products now have, you know, you have a relationship with that product, you know, like Nike or Apple. I mean, look at Apple.
Yes.
Apple's kind of a way of life, isn't
it? It is.
Or
it
you
is.
Might have a Samsung or, you know, whatever it is you're into. But, you know, they're building personalities and people buying into that. You know, I want to be seen wearing Nike. You know, it fits with what I want to. Want to do so
lifestyle image all
and that's
those.
How brands have changed and I think obviously access to social media has changed that. I mean that people can now live with that brand. But what was quite interesting is that I remember I like reading a bit of historical fiction, and there's a guy called Ben Kane who's written quite a few books, and through Twitter I was speaking to him. Now I couldn't have done that 10 years. I probably could have written him a letter, but but it's that instantaneous, you know. And you can start having those conversations, and I think that engages you even more of that brand, doesn't it?
So of course it does.
Well, everything and everyone is more accessible.
Yeah. Which is also a risk as well.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a risk. I wanted to pick up on one point, that this word engagement. It is crucial that if someone replies to a tweet, to a Facebook message, to an Instagram message, to a LinkedIn message, they're the four platforms that we're currently using, you have a responsibility to reply to these people.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
After all, you want to develop the relationship. If you were sitting next to someone at a wedding and they spoke to you, would you ignore them? No.
Depends who they are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
True.
You would, but the odds are...
Oh, no, it's them again.
But the odds are you would acknowledge whether you wanted to carry on that relationship or not. Mm. And then there's the other side, which I see all the time, especially on Twitter, is this selling, this constant barrage of sending stuff out to people. You follow someone and they send you back a message. Go and like this. Go and look at that.
Automated. There's nothing personal about it.
Exactly.
I switch off, actually. When people do that, I actually remove them. Yeah. I unfollow them because
what happened there, Miriam.
Sorry, Marcus. I was going to tell you later.
But my point, my additional point to the point that you were making, Miriam, is that, again, I use the wedding analogy. Mm. If you were sitting next to someone who you'd never met before, would you be trying to sell them something immediately? You wouldn't. Mm. So I think people need to rethink how they market.
Well,
themselves and how they use social media.
Yeah, and we can see that with the way some of the brands are now, going back to the earlier point about how they become part of the lifestyle, they're offering you something different. They're making you think differently. And going back to the point about an older generation, you know.
Careful, Marcus.
Being marketed in a different way. And, you know, that article was talking about a time bomb waiting to go off, etc. Well, actually, you know, it's just about communication, it's about relationships, about engagement, it's about thinking about, because I might be 60-year-old, but doesn't mean I like the same thing as the other 60-year-old.
That's right.
So, you know, quite often people are buying in still to a certain way of life. So if I'm a walker, doesn't matter what age I am. So therefore I might be buying a certain product to help me walk further. Don't know. But it's about how do people understand? And a lot of businesses are really scared of that kind of, you know, moving into that kind of arena.
They're very good points, because when you're younger, you will tend to be influenced by peer pressure. But when you've got a few more miles on the clock, I'm not going to use the word older because I don't believe in it. But when you're more mature, you've got a few more miles on the clock. We have the confidence in general to be more individual, and businesses and marketers have really got to think about that
and work harder to impress us. Because a lot of the brands, it's about the feel-good factor, isn't it? And also, if you're not buying Nike, if you're not buying Apple, then you're not part of the gang kind of thing. You're not part of this, what would you call it?
You're part of a tribe, aren't you?
And part of the tribe, exactly.
When I was at school, you know, everyone had to wear a certain kind of jumper or, you know, Furbo whatever it was, they had an Italian name or, you know, or Kappa or whatever. And, yes. But you was part of that, you know, that was what was in fashion, but it was your tribe, you know, that's what it's like being in a football team or, and I saw a really interesting, I think it was done by the Danish TV channel. It was a really interesting video where they got different tribes. They had sort of white middle class over there, and they had, you know, sort of Muslim generation. You know, they had different tribes, as they called them. And then they started asking them questions. Right, who here has had a death in the family? And these people went into the middle room, you know, who here was bullied at school? Mm. And they were, and actually they started seeing there was a breakdown. Doesn't matter what tribe you was in, if you want to call it, actually, there was a commonality between everyone. And I thought that was really powerful as a marketing tool that people forget that, you know, we've done research before, you know, use different marketing tools to, you know, put people into different boxes, don't you? But actually, perhaps that's changing a bit. I don't know. It's not quite so clear cut anymore.
I think it is. I think it's a real challenge now to use any of the old ways of sorting out demographics. I do believe it's about tribes. It's about communities of interest.
Yes.
And states of mind, not age and where you live.
No. Yes. And life experiences.
Yeah.
Life experiences come into that as well.
You're right.
Well, I wanted to pick up the interesting, you mentioned life experience. For example, Miriam, one of Miriam's focuses is on the probably age 55 plus group. Now, she's developing, I think it's one or two talks that you're developing which would focus, give you an example. At 50 to 55, the likelihood is that, especially with women, they may have been in corporate life and they've decided to pack it up because they want to do something else, so they've got a lump sum. Maybe they're empty nesters. Maybe they who have had health issues, like Miriam, when she had a severe, you know, she was diagnosed with a severe form of ME in 1997 and still lives, and fibromyalgia, and still lives and manages that it to this day. One of Miriam's focuses is that, look, You can be in your late 50s, if we're going to talk age, but you can develop something new, exactly as she's doing. Mm. She has developed a career, is developing a career, has developed a career, which it's been in the back of her life. She's written for 35 years, but she's doing it now. Okay.
See, I call that reinvention.
Yes.
Because I think all of us have, I mean, I've done it. I've changed my career, you know, I've set up a business and... For me, as I said a few times, it might have been midlife crisis, I don't know. But, you know, I think we've all got that opportunity in our lives to take a risk and to reinvent ourselves. And it's the same business. You know, you make a decision to change the way your business works or completely start from scratch.
And correct.
There is a fear factor out there. People are afraid. But when you talk to people like you who say, well, okay, you know, yes, I've got this and I've got that and life still goes on, and actually you can reinvent yourself, but you just need to fit yourself into your new you, I suppose.
One of my customers did a life laundry, and she sold everything, went travelling for 6 months with her husband, came back and set up another business.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is, grabbing the opportunity and not being afraid, because just go for it. It's a bit like Richard Branson saying, grab the opportunity and then work out how you're going to do it. If it feels right, I say, with renewed confidence. Hence, I went, for example, from working under a pen name because I was afraid to come out as Mary McGurk, because it was a bit like, oh, I should be exposed and, you know, there I am. Mm. But, you know, 4 years ago, not 4 years ago, actually only 2.5 years ago, I thought enough time for Miriam McGurk to step onto the podium and step into the light and be who she needs to be. And hence the process is developing.
Now, talking about podiums and light, I'm about to play a tune by someone who's always in the light, and it's Lady Gaga with Paper Gangster.
Sugar baby, saw you twice at the pop show. You taste just like glitter mixed with rock and roll. I like you a lot, lot. Think you're really hot, hot. Know you think you're special when we dance real crazy. Glamophonic, electronic, disco baby. I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot. Boys, boys, boys. Friends.
retro sneakers. Let's go see the Killers and make out in the bleachers. I like you a lot, lot. Think you're really hot, hot. Let's go to the party, heard our buddies the DJ. Don't forget my lipstick, I left it in your ashtray. I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot. Boys, boys, boys. Party, let's get lost in your Ferrari. Not psychotic or dramatic. I like boys and that is that. It's love it when you call me legs. In the morning, buy me eggs. Watch your heart when we're together. Boys like you love me forever.
Brand Show with Penny and Marcus for the latest thinking in marketing and PR and growing a brand.
Welcome back to the UK Brand Show.
Welcome back.
With Penny and Marcus.
Put my fader up.
Yeah. Are you there, Penny?
I am.
Hooray, you're there. We've been having a great conversation with Miriam and Chris. But before we continue, I just want to say thanks for our interactors on Twitter. Hello, Denise. She says, Chris, you'd be pleased to hear that, is that listening, she's listening right now, which is great. Thanks, Denise. Completely agree with Chris. Engagement and responding to people who open a dialogue with you. So it's really important. So she's saying that engagement and keeping that open dialogue is really important. So I'm glad to see that people, there's at least one listener on there interacting with us, which is good.
Denise Wilson from the Milan Focus. Thank you very much, Denise. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So we were talking about storytelling, but just to remind people, you can tweet us.
At the UK Brand Show.
And we are online, aren't we?
At the ukbrandshow.co.uk.
It's funny that, isn't it? Yeah, it's the same.
All connected. All about the brand.
It's all about the brand, yeah. So, and we've been talking about storytelling. But when we was off air, Miriam was talking to us about blogging, weren't you, and podcasting?
Yes. That's how I started. Blurbing went to blogging and then blogging. And originally, I was doing two posts a week. One was very much a subject matter about any subject matter, but mainly as a creative or actually stepping into the realms of social media. Because when I started, I absolutely had zero. If someone had come up and bit me on the derriere and talked about Twitter and all the other platforms, I would not know, have known. Mm. So I've had to learn. And 5 years in, obviously now moving on and embracing, raising, developing the brand and the profile, I'm really interested and engaged in podcasting. And that is very much the strategy for 2017. Mm. So my question to you, Marcus and Penny, and to the wonderful listeners who are in marketing and PR out there, do they feel that blogging still has a place, or is podcasting pipping it at the post or taking over, or do the two go hand in hand?
I think video is taking over blogging. I think people are more and more time poor, and actually watching someone talk to you is much quicker than actually reading it.
You get interaction immediately. Yes. Yeah, you just get that immediate response. Or
we know that it's the video era is growing.
Yeah.
I just think it's what people are looking for now. The other thing I was going to mention as well is this whole responding to social media, I think, is a challenge for small businesses, because I feel that we are now in an environment where people do want a response straight away, and actually sometimes you can't do that.
It's at the cost of actually the day-to-day running of the business.
But the important thing is to go back to them.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Also, I think what businesses, I hope, are beginning to learn that if a customer asks a question online, there's an opportunity to answer. You may engage with someone else.
Yeah.
Also, you may turn a bad situation into a good situation and flip it.
Mm. And going back to the question, personally, I don't think blogging is dead.
No.
I mean, there are clearly other ways now you can reach your audience. And I personally think that blogging still has a big part to play, because a lot of people now who are moved on to vlogging, as we call it now, and may have started in blogging. And, you know, so it's a good place to start and test your kind of, if you want to do thought leadership or whatever it's going to be, it's a good place to test it and see what kind of response you get. Mm. Not everybody also has a face, feels they've got the face for video.
Yes.
I've got face for radio, I know.
with that beard, Marcus.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
could all change.
But I mean, it's about confidence as well, isn't it? And you know, for some people, it's just easy. It would be easier for them because they feel that's how, you know, they're not confident enough to do podcast or video.
Then get some help.
Yeah,
yeah, and
that's professional help.
That's a really good point.
There's people out there, you know, get yourself a tripod. Mm. You've got an iPhone, or you have stick it on the tripod and practice. And if you're not sure, there are people out there with experience in the podcasting world, filming world. Ask for advice. That's what I do. I ask for advice.
And you're absolutely right.
Don't be afraid to ask.
No,
yeah,
always
ask.
In the main, people will respond in a positive way to you. And if they can't, perhaps they can refer you to someone else.
Yes. And actually, people become more professional about it. But for content purposes, I still feel blogs are still quite powerful, because they can still put across messages and talk about whatever the subject is. They can still talk, still engage people. But they can also form a basis of that vlog or that video. So
exactly, and I agree with Penny about people being time short.
Yeah.
And so therefore, one of the things that I'm going to do going forward is actually read extracts that are relevant from my blog posts that week, and still give the link. Let's see what happens.
And build up the YouTube channel.
This
is what we're going to do. Well, I mean, this week's blog I do in blue is hilarious, and I would urge you to go to 3wsmiriammcgurk.com and just have a look at Miriam's blogs, the one you did about social media as a creative. Creatives will learn from that, you know, it's not just there's a wide variety of subjects on there. It may be to inspire people, it may be able to give them information about social media from a creative perspective, it may be just for humor, but there's a variety. And I think this is, when you go on and have a look, you will see Miriam's storytelling strengths.
And I think as well, whether you're in business or creative as well, when you're telling the story, when you're writing the blogs, when you're doing the podcasts, actually, because a lot of businesses now, what are they doing as a bolt-on? They're writing business books. Mm. So if they like you, the person, if they like how you're blogging and how you're presenting yourself, your profile, your brand, the likelihood of them then going out to buy the book grows tremendously.
Yeah, and it's all about, once again, about building that brand, isn't it? It's all about that kind of creating that noise that people, what's going on here?
A little buzz.
And what's been interesting in the conversation is that, you know, we've heard how you've built your brand up, and you know, for the industry, it's quite some interesting lessons in that, because I think sometimes people want to do it in a rush, and we know from our me and Penn and I, we know when we're working with clients sometimes, they think it can happen tomorrow, and it doesn't always work like that.
No.
You need to invest time and, you know, to get it right.
And money sometimes.
Money's always good.
Investment. It's a process.
I mean,
Sorry, I was going to say that with everything, it's one step followed by another, followed by another. And actually what you're doing is you're building the foundations, you're building the structure, you're building the credibility, the loyalty, the trust. And all of these things are positives in moving forward and continuing to develop that brand and profile.
For example, this year, as I said, we have a strategy for 2017. We're already working on 2018.
Yeah.
But something new that we're going to be doing this year is called In Conversation with Miriam. There will be three or four events which will be filmed where we will have a professional interviewer who will chair and we'll talk to Miriam and ask questions and hopefully engage the audience as well. But it will give people more of an idea of who is Miriam McGurk.
And you mentioned the word loyalty, and you know brand loyalty is really important.
Yes,
but you need to keep having something new to say and engaging people. Or you know, it's back to that story again, isn't it?
And it's like storytelling.
Any brand that you're promoting and growing, and this is where you asked the question earlier about marketing PR. You know, this is where they work together because, you know, the good thing about they you know, say PR, I think is part of the marketing mix. Is the good thing about PR is it can help you extend that story and reach other audiences where they can actually make their own decisions. Whereas sometimes with the marketing bit, it's almost like that you've got to take it as it is. So I think there's some really interesting words that are coming out today, and I quite like that. So the other thing I was going to pick up actually is the word strategy. So that's one of my, it's one of the things I like to talk about because a lot of people don't plan ahead.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're working from week to week or, you know, they're not, I mean, it's a bit like having a business plan. You know, it's about setting out
goals.
Your goals. Yeah. And, you know, I say it all the time. And I've been lecturing to young students. And one of the questions I asked them was, what are your goals? Yes. You know, have you set a plan? And actually this year, they were quite good. You know, there was, we have got a plan, you know. And I can, it can be arbitrary. Yes, it could be about money or whatever. But actually, you know, for your purposes, you've obviously got your strategy set out.
We have. Yeah. We have. We sat down last October and we started to work on it. One of them was a social media strategy, and Miriam and I sit down. We structure each week. We look at the structures of the tweets, the hashtags, the photographs. What are we going to talk about? We're doing the same with podcasts. That once you know, we'll probably start. Where are we now? February, I would say, by the end of the month, early part of March. Miriam will be doing short podcasts. She'll also be doing something called a word of wisdom, whereby she will talk for 6 to 10 seconds and just give you some. We see enough of it on Twitter, inspirational words, or on Instagram, but she's going to be doing that visually because people are time short. 6 to 10 seconds, you can do that because otherwise you get what's known as, I think it was you told me, the swipe, and they'll go on to the next next section.
That's right.
Social media, podcasting, and then talking face-to-face events as Women in Business in March. Miriam will be talking, and also In Conversation with Miriam as well. So these are all new for 2017.
Correct. And also we review on a regular basis the kind of social media platforms that are working for me as a creative.
Yeah.
And we're not afraid to embrace the new platforms if we feel they're suitable. We'll certainly try them. But the other thing in amongst all of that we have to do and have a strategy for is, as the writer, if I'm not writing, there is nothing. So I need that time to completely immerse myself in my cave and writing and allowing the inspiration and the words to flow, because the words are still powerful.
Now that's a cave I'm not often allowed in. I'm allowed to come in with a mug of green tea at 11:30 in the morning, and then I say, oh, it's 1:30, it's time for lunch, and that's it for the rest of the day.
But I think that's really interesting. I mean, we hear about being creative, don't we, and writer's block and all the rest of it. And you know, we are in the creative industry, you know, PR, marketing, you know, authors and the rest of it. And you do get times when you just can't do it. And think you have to do something else. You have to. Yeah. And I think some people aren't, they can't get that kind of space that they need in order to be creative. And I mean, obviously, you go to Turkey, which is great. And you get
But I'm very disciplined and people laugh at me. But my phone is on switch off and on silent and in another room while I work. I need silence to work. And that's whether I'm writing a short story or a blog or a little editorial piece. I need the quiet. And actually, I believe to be creative, we need to remove ourselves from all that noise. So I'm actually very strict about that. And that door closes. And, you know, when I, at the end of the day, I have a very strict schedule every day of how I work it.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to engage, it'll be at the end of my day where I catch up on all the, you know, the courtesy and respectful responses to people on Twitter and so on.
I think everyone's different. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was just going to say that I like noise. Yeah. I like things in the background. I can't sit there in silence. But they're two different. I mean, they're two different types of people. And but I don't know. I'm casting my mind back to, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. They used to call that biorhythms. Do you remember biorhythms?
Yes.
And they used to say, yeah. So basically, your body goes up and down throughout the day and you have peaks and, you know, and certain points in the day, like in the morning before 11 o'clock, it's higher and that's when you're quite creative.
That's right.
And then later on in the afternoon, it happens again. And it might be because you've had lunch and some energy. I don't know. But
yeah.
So it's quite interesting, but no one talks about it anymore. But no. I think you still
it's get relevant.
Those moments in the day where, you know, you just need to go for a walk or do something different.
That's
or,
right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
Miriam,
right.
You always talk about it. One of the most important things is, and she reminds people about this, and it'll be one of your words of wisdom. We are human beings, not doings. And that is very relevant. It's so important to take time in the day or in the week to be mindful, to just be. And Miriam has taught me this over a number of years. It is so, so important because I'm dyslexic, so my brain is going at 100 miles an hour. But I've learned now to calm it, and I've learned the bonus, I suppose, of just being and thinking.
Right. So we're coming near to the end of the show now, folks, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been great to have you in here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We've thoroughly enjoyed, being with you as guests today. Thank you both so much.
And I think we've learned a lot from this as well. I've also learned about life laundry as well. I thought that was really interesting. So I'm going to chuck the washing machine out. And,
and she got rid
hand
of everything,
wash.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Hand wash. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But it's we have had some words of wisdom today, actually. And I think it doesn't matter who you are or, you know, you can engage, you can use technology, you can find different ways of reaching your audience. I think it's been a really valuable lesson today. So just to remind everyone, you can follow us on Twitter and at UK Brand Show and on the website.
UKbrandshow.co.uk.
Yeah.
And redsprout.co.
And Red Sprout, thanks for our sponsor for who has some great jobs.
They do.
Otherwise, I hope you've enjoyed the show and we'll be back next week with another great guest or two. Otherwise, we're going to leave you with my book by The Beautiful South.
This is my life and this is how it reads. For every chapter, 1,000 memories. A murder, a mystery where everybody bleeds. A fantasy, a thriller with romance and disease. Diary entry 9th of May 62. We've had some ugly babies but now we're quite. Diary entry 62, end of May. It looks as if